For our third team, we have sung a song that is very treasured in the Christian community. And this song is entitled Amazing Grace. And this is one of the few hymns that has been translated in various languages throughout the entire world. And there is a very good reason why this hymn is so well loved by Christians throughout the entire world. Because this is the story, this is the truth of everyone who has found eternal life. They have received of the amazing grace of God. This includes the person that has written this hymn. Who is this person that wrote this hymn? Well, he is a person by the name of John Newton. And you will be very surprised to know that John Newton was once a person who worked on a slave trading ship. But because he was someone who was rebellious, somebody who refused to listen to good instruction, somebody who went against the captain of the ship, and so there came upon a time whereby he was also given to be a slave of this particular princess by the name of Peyer of the Shebro people. Now this princess was a black. And in those days, most of the blacks were heavily persecuted and abused as slaves. And so it is very interesting that this man, John Newton, should be given to be a slave of somebody who is a black. Now, did he receive better treatment because he was a slave under somebody who was black? Not so, because in those days, they don't care whatever color of skin you are. As long as you are a slave, you'll be very, very ill-treated. And so he was abused. He was flogged. And after that, he was released. Did he become any better after he went through that particular experience? No. In fact, he continued in the slave trade and he continued to be a man who was very rebellious and very abusive. Now, you may think, I am not like this particular person. But the Bible tells us that every one of us, when we are conceived in the womb of our mother, we will conceive as sinners. Yes, all of us have this nature that is so corrupt. And because we are corrupt as sinners before God, and so therefore the Bible tells us that we are not able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. As people who are sinners, there must be a just punishment. And that just punishment is eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. It is what all of us deserve. All of us, we deserve eternal death. We deserve eternal condemnation because we have sinned against God. This is the truth about mankind ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. The first man, Adam, he was created perfect. And he was told by God to tend the Garden of Eden. He was free to eat of any tree that was in the Garden of Eden, except for one tree. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did Adam do? He fell to the temptation of the serpent. The serpent first tempted his wife, Eve. At the point of time, still not yet called Eve, still called the woman. And the woman listened to the serpent. And after that, she took off the fruit, she ate it, passed it to Adam. And Adam also ate of that fruit. And because of that, because Adam, who was our representative, ate that forbidden fruit, so therefore the whole of mankind fell from his estate. From that point onwards, every single man that is conceived in the womb of the mother is conceived as a sinner. And you know very well, in the inner recesses of your heart, that there is what you are. There is no man that is born good. Every man is born evil. Nobody needs to teach us how to lie. We will lie. Some of you have children. Look at your children when they grow up from young. Every single one of them, you do not need to teach them to lie. They themselves will know how to do that which is evil in the sight of man and in the sight of God. That is the truth about every man. Knowing that that is what we deserve, eternal condemnation. It is therefore so amazing to read down here in the Holy Scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that by grace we are saved through faith. And this word grace that you see down here refers to unmerited favor. It means receiving something or some good that we do not deserve. And what is this good that we do not deserve? This good that we do not deserve is eternal life. We have received mercy from the Lord if in Christ Jesus. If we truly repent of our sins and believe in Him, we receive mercy because we are spared from eternal condemnation. But that is not all. The Bible also tells us that not only are we spared from eternal condemnation, eternal death, but those who are willing to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He comes some 2,000 years ago as fully man, fully God, and that He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And not only just that, but He became our substitute. He died in our place on the cross, which was at Calvary, shedding His precious blood. And that He was buried, and that on the third day He rose from the dead. For all those who believe in this, the Bible tells us that instead of eternal death, from which we are spared, we will have eternal life. We totally do not deserve it. And that is one of the reasons why this grace is so amazing. It is so amazing because we totally, totally did not deserve it. You just imagine, with regards to some of us, we receive presents in this world. And sometimes these presents in which we receive, what have we done to deserve these presents? Not one thing, isn't it? We receive, for example, presents from our parents simply because they love us. But then when you examine how you behave yourself before your parents, you realize that you were very disobedient. Your parents asked you to do housework, you did not do. Your parents asked you to do your homework, you did not do. Your parents asked you to be polite to them, you were discourteous. You did not one thing to deserve that particular present. And yet, your parents, on your birthday, they still gave you something which you say you desire to have. Why did they do so? Simply because they have set their love upon you. And you graciously receive that present from them. That is what it means by grace. Now, for some of you, as you ponder all these things that has happened to you in the past, you will say, oh, that is very gracious of my parents. I have received grace from them. Now, if you say that that is something that is so marvelous, that the love of your parents was so marvelous because of this grace which they have extended to you, what more this grace which you have experienced in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what more this grace which is now presented to you by God Himself? That is why it is so amazing. It is so amazing because it is totally, totally undeserved. And now God says, I love you. And because I love you and I don't desire that any man should perish, I sent my only begotten Son into this world. Though He be fully God, yet He will take on the form of a slave he will become 100% man, so that he can become our representative to die in our stead. It should be us who should die on the cross. Every one of us, we deserve that. And yet, Jesus Christ did that for us. And all these things was simply done so that we can receive this gift which we totally do not deserve. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And not only just that, but you will realize that it is such amazing grace also because that it is something that humbles man to the dust. And this we can see in the following part of verse 8 all the way to the end of verse 9. Here the Bible tells us that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How to get to heaven? Many people in the world will say, oh, the way to get to heaven is to be good. And so therefore, if you are a good man upon the earth, then maybe, and they will say maybe, there may be a possibility that after you have passed on from this world, you will find yourself in the pearly gates of heaven. But when this is the teaching, you will realize that glory goes to man, isn't it? Even though you may say, oh, there is a God that is overlooking all these things, but once you say that I must contribute something to my salvation, it means that some glory, some credit now goes to you. Is that not true? But the Bible here says that with regards to salvation of men, that everything regarding this salvation is of God. And this is something that is logical because you recall that we are born as sinners. Now, if we are born as sinners, then all the works that we have done before the Lord, every single one of our work is stained with sin. And so long as everything that we have done is stained with sin, there is no way we can enter into heaven before the presence of a totally holy and pure God. There is no way that we can save ourselves. And so therefore, the way of salvation has to be totally provided by God Himself. And how did God provide this way? This way is that one way, only one way in which He has stated in the Holy Scriptures. And that is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why when you read the book of John and the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, it says that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is someone who is full of grace and truth. He is the very embodiment of grace, because if this Savior cannot come into this world, we would have been totally lost. There is no way we can save ourselves. And just by understanding this, you realize that man is actually nothing before God, isn't it? It is amazing grace because it is something that is so humbling to man. And that is why man finds it so hard to believe in the gospel, because they will tell themselves, hey, it's so easy, just repent of my sins and believe in God. You mean I don't need to do anything? And that is the reason why men would like to think this way, because men would want some credit for themselves. I must do something in order to achieve salvation. When the way of salvation actually is, you just give 100% glory to God. You just say, I cannot help myself, I need God, so Lord, I just surrender myself to you. You must be the one to lead me to heaven. And so therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. Now, please help my unbelief. Grant me this faith to believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He is indeed my Master and my Savior. And you know what? The Bible also tells us that this faith to believe in Jesus Christ also comes through God. God is the one who grants us the faith to believe. Those of us who have believed in Christ, when you look back at your salvation, there can be no way you can claim any credit for it. Because the Bible here says, if the Lord hadn't taken the word of God, and by His Holy Spirit applied it powerfully and effectively to you in your heart, you will still be lost, because there is no way you would have understood God's word. This faith, to understand His word and to commit yourself to it fully, also comes from God Himself. So therefore, why amazing grace? It is amazing grace because it truly gives all glory to God. It is something that is so humbling to the sons of men. And so if you know the gospel, and you understand what great a salvation the Lord has wrought in your life, you should not be somebody who is proud of your achievements, proud of yourself, proud of your intelligence, proud of how handsome or pretty you look like, proud of your talent. Oh, I can play the piano so well. I can teach so well. I can know all the various engineering concepts. Oh, I can design such great and big buildings. Oh, I have so much money in the bank. No, very few people in the world can compare to me. So what? You can have all these things, but when it comes to your own salvation, you cannot even contribute one stitch to it. Just like what Charles Spurgeon used to say, if I should contribute even one stitch to the garment of my salvation, I would be a man most condemned. All glory goes to God Himself. And so even for those of us who are believers, let us also understand what great a salvation the Lord has wrought unto us, what amazing grace He has presented before us. Let Christ increase and let every man truly decrease. We must never ever boast of any achievement before the Lord. So what if you are a pastor? So what if you are elder? So what if you are a deacon? So what if you are the best teacher in Sunday school? So what if you have your large cars and mansions? If there is one thing this COVID-19 plague should teach us, that is, man is totally powerless. You look at what is happening right now. The very fact that we are having a live streaming service is because of the powerless nature of man. You just see how man is so scared by a virus that is just nanometers in size. How small is a nanometer? A nanometer is 1 times 10 to the power of negative 9 meters. You look at the ruler and then you divide it by 1,000. Even that 1,000 of the division is still not the size of a virus. You look at your computer chip. Some of the computer chips that we have is still larger than the virus. And just by this one small virus, the whole world is now sent panicking. The life of man is frail. And if you still want to live a life that is under the sun, not repenting of your sin, then it would be a life that is lived in total vanity. You must humble yourself before the Lord, whether be it the first time you are hearing the gospel and you have not believed in Christ. You must humble yourself before Christ. You must humble yourself before God. Be it whether you are a believer, you also must humble yourself before God. Because even your entrance into the kingdom of heaven is of God Himself. So please, all of us, we must make sure that as we come before the Lord, we must do so with total abasement of self. Let all pride be set aside. Let Christ always take the forefront of our lives. He must be the first in everything. In fact, not just the first, Christ must be our life. That is what we learn even from verse 9. Knock off works, lest any man should boast. Those of you who are second generation Christians, please also remember this. You call yourself a Christian, but whether or not you are truly born again, it is something that you must examine yourself in your heart. To be a true Christian, to be somebody who is a citizen of heaven, is not just by attendance in church. You tell yourself, oh, I am now going to listen to all the live streaming services that Tabernacle BB Church can provide. Not just Tabernacle BB Church, but I will listen to all the live streaming services from all the BB churches in Singapore Yeah, not just all the BB churches in Singapore, but also all the fundamental and conservative churches in the world. I listen to as many of this preaching as possible. But in the end, if you still have not repented of your sins and come before Him, it is totally useless. You think that just by the mere attendance, mere participation in all these things, that means you are Christian, then you are most misunderstood. Most misunderstood. It's not by this kind of work that you become a Christian. It's not just by mere attendance in the Ebenezer Fellowship, in the Shomerim Fellowship, which is the Young Adults Fellowship, in the Adults Bible Study, and just because you are attending all these things so often means that you are part of the Kingdom of Heaven. Remember, there was one group of people during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who taught like that. They were the Pharisees, and they wanted their works to be displayed before all men. Oh, look how clean I am. Look how pure I am. Look how holy I am. In the end, what was the Lord's judgment about them? You are whitewashed sepulchres. In other words, you are not even born again. And these were the people who the rest of society thought will be the first to enter into the Kingdom of Heaven. But they thought that they would enter the Kingdom of Heaven by what? By their works. No, it's never by our own works that we enter into the Kingdom of Heaven. It's not just because you are born into a church and then you have faithfully listening to your parents' instructions to come to church that you are automatically a Christian. No, it is wholly of God. You must surrender your life totally to Him and believe in Christ Jesus, in His person, in His work. Then the Bible says you will then be a recipient of this amazing grace. But it's not only just amazing grace because it is something that is undeserved. It's not just amazing grace because it is grace that is most humbling unto us. But it's also amazing grace because of the transformation that occurs in our life. You look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. And there, the workmanship refers to a piece of art. No, it's just like a clay pot. In order to have a clay pot, you need somebody who will make the clay pot. And so when the person makes the clay pot, what will he do? Well, he will have some clay, and then he will take the clay. Before that, it's useless. It's just some clay. And what will the potter do? He will take the clay, he will make it wet, and then after that, he will slowly work on the piece of clay, and soon, after he has done his work, it will be a very nice vessel which you can use to hold certain items. This is also the picture that is presented before us when he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. Yes, that is what every Christian should be like. If you are not born again, the Bible says that every work that you do is stained by sin, and so therefore are like filthy rags before Him. It is impossible for someone who do not know Christ to do anything that is acceptable in the sight of God. You cannot help but sin. But now that someone have received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ truly as His own personal Lord and Savior, the Bible here says that now we are able to do that which is good and right in the sight of God. That is what it means by good works. Good and right in the sight of God. Something that the Lord will say, I am well pleased. Before that, you cannot do it. But now, when you look at someone who is truly a believer, you are able to see that there is this transformation of his life whereby now he can do that which is right in God's sight. And this is something which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The word walk is something that we do every day. Right? Even if you talk about a person who is in self-isolation right now because of the virus, you can ask Joshua. I hope Joshua is looking at this or watching this particular worship service. You ask Joshua. He can stay in his room, but I don't think he will just be sitting on his bed or his chair all the time. He definitely have to do some walking, right? Walking is something that everybody does all the time. in general, unless the Lord has finely feet to take away the function of your feet. And so therefore, when the Bible here says that this is something that we should walk in them, it means that good works should be something that is present in our life from day to day. This is something that we must bear before the Lord for His glory. Do you know that this is something which only a Christian can do? Why can a Christian do this? Because his nature is now totally transformed. Last time he was somebody who is totally corrupted. But now, because the Holy Spirit indwells within him, he is now a new creation before the Lord. And so therefore, he is able, by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells within him, to do that which in the past he would not even be able to do. And if you look at those who have believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are true and genuine and sincere believers, you realize that there will be this transformation of life. Yes, some of it may not be immediate, but by and by, as the person continues to grow in the understanding of the gospel of Christ, you will see this transformation of life. In the past, he is a liar. But now, when you look at him, he is so committed to doing everything honestly that to get him to even speak something that is contrary to fact, he is not able to bring himself to do it. We talk about somebody who was a gambler, but now because he knows Christ, he is able to set aside all these gambling habits. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. You see somebody who was a playboy, addicted to pornography, addicted to fornication. Last time he may be a lover of many women. Now that he believes in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he knows that the Lord demands purity of life, and so therefore he is faithful only to the wife which the Lord has given to him. And this was exactly what happened during the Jongsong revivals, which happened right during the 1900s here in Singapore. When Johnson spoke, when the people believed, they took all their gambling items, they took their wine bottles, they took all their magical items, and then they took it into power, they burned it, and then they wholly committed themselves to the Lord. That was also what happened to John Newton. You have heard just now in the beginning of the sermon that he was somebody who was rebellious. In fact, he was a rascal. When he was in school, he was very, very disobedient. A rascal. And do you know that there is a grave now in England which talks about this? You know, for John Newton, he was somebody who did not believe in the Lord, though born to believing parents. The only time where he began to think more about God was in 1748. When he was in a ship off the coast of Ireland, then there was a very severe storm. That severe storm, somehow, on the 10th of March, 1748, caused him to begin to think about matters of life. Before that, he couldn't even be bothered. He went against the faith. He wanted to attack anything that was Christian. But ever since the storm, he began to realize how weak he was, and how he need to examine his entire life. He began reading the Bible, something that he would have hated in the past. According to him, his true conversion was several years later. Then by the time of 1754, he had a stroke, and so he gave up going together with the slave trading ships. By the time of 1764, he became the Anglican clergy of a parish like in Oney, Buckinghamshire. Then finally, he became the rector of St. Mary's Woodnoth. Today, you can still see evidences of this if you go to England. Of course, please don't go now. Please stay at home. But if the Lord grants you the opportunity to go, perhaps you may want to go searching for these things. Now, if you go to Oney, you will see the tomb of a tomb and a memorial, rather, of John Newton. And there will be an inscription, and these are the words that are inscribed down there. Once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Near 16 years as curate of this parish, and 28 years as rector of St. Mary Woodnough. So in other words, in the past, he would have labored, right? The key word is the word labored to destroy. Labored to destroy what? Labored to destroy the Christian faith. He hated it so much. But then, after that storm in 1748, which caused him to think about the frailty of life, finally, after many readings of the Bible, he surrendered himself to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he received the amazing grace of God, for which he was so touched that he wrote this hymn that is so well loved by many Christians today. In the early parts of his life, he would have never written that hymn because he was lost. But because of the grace that he received, his life was now totally transformed, so that now the faith which he has long labored to destroy, for the end part of his life, he persevered in making it known to the people in his country. And you know what? At the latter end of his life, this person who was once a slave, and also once a worker working in the slave trade, became somebody who worked so hard to abolish the slave trade. Why did he work so hard to abolish the slave trade? Because he understood the many evils that were involved in this business. How the slave trades were not even treated in a humane way. How they were given only one very small portion in the ship to survive in. How the conditions were so bad that many of them died because of illness. And then after that, when they were sold as slaves, how many of them they were abused? How many of them they were flogged? Just like he himself in the past who had been ill-treated. He understood. And now he worked to have it abolished. The transformation of his life cannot be more stark. And that is what every Christian should be like also. That is what every one of us should be like. And we pray that as we continue to read the Bible, just like how John Newton read the Bible, the more we understand the amazing grace of God, the more we should be transformed in our lives. And so, dear friends, on this day of Gospel Sunday, our prayer for everyone is this. If you have not believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may today be a day whereby you receive this amazing grace. Yes, it is amazing grace because it is so undeserved. It's amazing grace because it means that you will have to totally humble yourself before the Lord. But what happens if you do? Your state now has totally changed. No longer are you under a state of eternal condemnation. You have now received eternal life. You will have grace now to live your life on the earth, to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has been so good to you. And you will also continue to do so even until eternity, whereby after your life here upon the earth has ended, your soul will be present with the Lord, awaiting for the final day where you will be resurrected and that you will be given a glorified body that will never corrupt. No need to fear the virus when you are in that body. You will also be living in the world where there is no viruses of this sort. There will be no corruption. There will be no sin. There will be no more death. Total transformation from this world which you see today. We pray, if you have not believed in Christ, you will come to receive Him. When you receive Him, all these things will be yours, isn't it? Amazing. Yes, amazing. That's precisely the point. It is amazing grace. And for all of us who are believers, let us never forget this amazing grace which the Lord has wrought for us, which we have received. Sometimes it is so easy to go into the world and then you forget about what God has done for you in your life. Let us not be an unthankful people. Let us not be people who are forgetful. Every time we hear the gospel, let us say in our hearts, how wonderful God has been to me. It is something which I want to hear again and again. I want to sing of the wonderful grace of Jesus. So may the Lord help us to understand this. May the Lord continue to keep you in His love and care. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee, O Lord, for this wonderful grace of Jesus that has been given to us who are believers. And this amazing grace also is available also to anyone who is willing to humble himself before the Lord and to confess him as his master and his savior. And so, Father, we pray that today may be the day of salvation for someone who has yet to believe in Christ Jesus. And for the rest of us, O Lord, may you keep us ever mindful of this grace which you have wrought in our lives. May we never treat this grace for granted, but may we always endeavor by the help of thy Spirit to walk in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. Yea, you have ordained us unto good works. May this also be something that is truly found in our lives before thee. And so, Father, we commit all these things into thy loving hands. May thou be with thy people. In Jesus' name we pray.